This is All About Living with Carol Colby. All About Living is brought to you by Gunderson Funeral Home Cremation Care, Turville Bay MRI and Radiation Oncology Center in Madison, Home Health United, The Medicine Shop Monona, Independent Living. All About Living with Carol Colby.
Good afternoon and welcome again to All About Living. I'm Carol Colby. Always a pleasure to have you with us every Saturday at noon. And remember, this program is also available on carolcobyradio.com. Now, what we are going to get into today is another issue that is on top of mind awareness and certainly in the news. And hopefully we're going to be able to bring it into the reality in a rational, reasonable way and discuss what is and what isn't. I was startled, stunned by many of the pieces of information that crossed my desk that I received over the internet on Medicare, on healthcare reform, on some of the issues, the campaign rhetoric that we all were exposed to during these last months. And now that the election is over, hopefully we're going to now settle into a reasonable discussion of some of these issues. I hope to do so on this program. Today we're going to talk about Medicare, what it is, what it isn't, and what it will become as the future of healthcare unfolds. And this segment of our program is brought to you today by Gunderson Funeral and Cremation Care, the Life Celebration Center, and Turville Bay MRI and Radiation Oncology Center in Madison, where expertise with compassion is powerful medicine. Here to talk about Medicare is one of this program's favorite guests, Nino Amato. He is no stranger to the microphone.
Thank you, Carol.
Nino is president and executive director of the Coalition of Wisconsin Aging Groups, better known by the acronym CWAG. And CWAG was founded in 1978, is a nonprofit, nonpartisan, statewide membership advocacy organization that's concerned with issues affecting older persons and their families. And while you are a statewide organization for our state of Wisconsin, what's happening on the national scene really fits into part of that whole puzzle.
Oh, sure. We spent a lot of time in Washington working with our congressional delegation and other aging organizations around the country to deal with all those issues that are important to not just our elderly, but also for our children and grandchildren, because at some point in time, they'll be where we are. So we've been around for a little over 33 years. And we're right at the center of all the activities and debates that's going on at the moment.
You are a very, very busy person these days. In a recent issue of ARP Bulletin, AARP Bulletin, they had an article on called If Healthcare Reform Unravels. And much of this article is about the whole healthcare reform legislation in general. But at the end, they specifically talk about Medicare and some of the issues surrounding that. I know that's of grave concern to people. Just this past week, I had conversations with people as they were going to the voters' booth. What's going to happen to Medicare? We're going to lose our Medicare. We're going to take Medicare away. They're not going to give me care. They're going to pull the plug. I was amazed at the number of people who are reasonable people, educated people, who stay on top of things, who really are still bewildered about the whole concept of Medicare, how we're going to pay for it, and are we now going under and will this be taken away, even though they don't want government in their Medicare. So let me refer to this article at the conclusion of it and some of the points that are made. In this article, a professor from Harvard University who's a public opinion expert said that Democrats and Republicans are can cite both public opinions. Some are for and some are against. Mostly the Republicans are the half that don't like the health care reform. And the other half that is concerned about it, either they like it or they want it strengthened. So you have half that like the reform or they want it strengthened, and then you have another half that really doesn't like the reform. But the important point is these findings are muddied, this article says, by recent polls showing widespread misunderstanding of what the law actually says. More than one-third of people 65 and older think it would allow a government panel to make decisions about end-of-life care, the death panels coined by Sarah Palin. And half think it would cut benefits to everyone on Medicare. This is according to a survey by the Kaiser Family Foundation, certainly a reputable organization.
Yes, we've worked with them before. Yes.
In fact, what they say, the law does neither. Right now, people are making a judgment about what they hear about the law, often gleaned from misinformation spread by its critics. But at some point, the public judgment will be based on what tens of millions of people actually experience as a result of what's in the law. The problem is the Democrats may not have time on their side. And certainly the results of the election now split Congress, and this is one of the main things that's on the table.
You know, two things. One, the article in AARP is excellent. If people want to go to their website or if they actually are getting the publications, and I remember when I got my first ARP card at 49 and I kind of threw it away, but now I love it.
Right.
You finally realize the importance of it and do embrace age rather than try to fight it. But there is so much misinformation out there. It is absolutely incredible. A great deal of fear tactics have been used at the whole beginning debate of health care reform. And, you know, if you look at the initials for FEAR, F-E-A-R, it really stands for false evidence appearing real. And that is actually a Greek definition.
False evidence appearing
real. And so, for instance, I did my own unscientific poll. And before my mother passed away in April, I was at All Saints, and I was talking to a group of her friends, and they were ranting and raving about getting government out of health care and that the private sector could do it better. So I asked them, how many of you like the Medicare Part D prescription drug supplements? Oh, we hate it. It's complicated. It's confusing. It doesn't make any sense. We think we're getting ripped off. And I said, well, that's interesting. That is the private sector. I said, how many people like their Medicare? Oh, yeah, it's great. I said, that's government. And then I asked, how many people like Social Security? Well, yeah, we need that. It's our safety net. There's over 45, 50 million people on it. I said, well, that's government. And all of a sudden, I realized how bad the misinformation was. And my mother responded by saying, well, I know you wouldn't lie to me, so is Fox TV lying to me? And I said, well, I'm not getting the debate of what TV stations does, but they are in fact misleading people. And here's the reality. I mean, if Medicare or if the healthcare reform should go away, and that's one of the points in the article. Let's talk about the things that people will lose. They will lose the ability to close what they call the donut hole, and that's the gap that people have to pay for prescription drugs, which is quite expensive. And there are people right now who are on fixed incomes who now are making decisions about breaking their medications in half or skipping it every other day or deciding to pay the utility bill or not. But in the healthcare reform, that gap is closed by 2019, which is a long ways, but they couldn't get the Republicans to compromise. This whole thing of denying people healthcare with pre-existing conditions. Under this healthcare reform bill, you can't do that anymore. This year it's 18 or under, and next year it covers everybody. And that's critically important because some of the business models that the healthcare industry is using is looking at our DNA. And if our DNA indicates that we have a high risk for diabetes or a high risk for heart, they could technically deny us healthcare coverage. Well, this bill protects that. It also does a number of other things relative to looking at patient care, patient safety. So there is so many scare tactics that are going out there. It has misled the public. And the people who have a self-vested, profit-motivated interest in this whole thing, whether it's campaign contributions or whether it's people within the healthcare industry who wants to protect status quo, basically spend hundreds of millions of dollars on lobbyist fees as well as TV ads to confuse the public. And they did an excellent job. They did, in fact, confuse them. And so you're seeing the same thing with Social Security, and now you're seeing the same thing with Medicare. Medicare does not go away, as some people believe it will. Medicare is not being cut by $500 million. It's actually $500 million of savings, which preserves Medicare. And in regards to Medicaid, that is still run by the federal government, but it gives the state the flexibility to reach out to really poor, disadvantaged people. And Wisconsin got an exemption, and that's where we come up with Badger Care, and that serves quite a few people, about 30,000 people that are in really need, and a lot of those are children. So there is so much misinformation, and again, it's false evidence appearing real. And we need to get this all out on the table and have a healthy debate, and I only hope that after Tuesday's election, I think most of the candidates talked about it's time to get together and be bipartisan. The president said the same thing. We need to do that because Medicare, Social Security is this country's safety net. And you take that away, you're already seeing people who are on fixed income falling into poverty levels, and they're the aging. And you know, I'll go back to what I've said before on this program. Every country in the world, especially industrialized democratic countries, are judged by what they do for their children and their elderly. And right now, we are really not doing a very good job compared to other industrialized nations who's financially sound.
It's amazing to me that this threat or the charge of government takeover of our medicine, of our medical system, of our health care, and that is just continually shouted out to people. And this is really not government takeover at all. In fact, they didn't get the public option.
No.
So we're talking about private plans.
Sure it is.
And what it is, it's access. It's more people having access
more
to
access,
health.
And it's also talking about exchange pools, which allows the private sector to provide additional insurance for those who really need it. You know, so there's so much misinformation, it's mind-boggling. And I don't blame the general public, because who do you believe? And the moment people start being fearful of what's going on, they're going to err on the side of whatever they hear and go with those fears. And unfortunately, those who want to protect Social Security, those who want to protect Medicare, Medicaid, there was quite a few candidates that people voted for who, quite frankly, would like to take that away. And let me add one other thing, too. They always say that government takeover. Well, let's talk about prescription drug cost. In the health care reform bill, our senator, Senator Herb Kohl, who's still there and he's chair of the Special Committee on Aging, was able to get through the bill an investigation on why our medication in this country is much higher than other countries. And let me just, before I get in the specifics of that, the fact of the matter is under the Bush administration, George W., he allowed the prescription drug lobbyists to prevent the federal government from negotiating the lowest possible price for prescription drugs in this country. So it prevented us from an aggregate standpoint to really go out and be the big 900-pound gorilla to get the lowest possible prescription drugs for citizens of America. So let's take the drug Lipitor. In this country, it costs $2.82 a pill. If you do the math, multiply that by 30, by 12, and it's a little over $1,000 a year. In Canada, it's $1.82, a dollar less. In France, it's, I think, a dollar per pill, and in New Zealand, it's 82 cents per pill. Now, two things. If you're in New Zealand, you're saving about $700 a year. And if you're on fixed income, that's a heck of a lot of money. And if you have the affordability of additional cash, this means you can take extra trips to see your grandkids. The fact of the matter is, why are those other countries cheaper? Well, they're cheaper because they didn't allow the pharmaceutical industries to prevent the state, the government, from buying in large quantities to negotiate the lowest price. In this country, the lobbyists went out, and it prevents us from doing that. Under this health care bill, it allows us now to do just that. So people have to sort out fiction from fact, mm-hmm. and also realize that there are money interests in here who want to preserve the current status quo on health care, prescription drugs, because they make money for their stockholders. Now, that's not bad. We need prescription drug companies. And I believe in the capitalistic system, as long as there's checks and balances. So the bottom line is there is really money motivation behind here. There are lobbyists who are misgiving information to the public, and we need to straighten that out as quickly as we can.
We need to stop for a break right now. When we return, we'll continue our conversation with Nino Amato, President and Executive Director of the Coalition of Wisconsin Aging Groups. We're talking about Medicare, about the health care reform bill, and what expectations we can have for how our Medicare and our health care will evolve once January 1st comes and once the settlements are made regarding our health care reform legislation. You're listening to All About Living here on Madison 1670 WTDY. Stay tuned.
This is All About Living with Carol Colby, Madison 1670 WTDY.
We're back with our guest, Nino Amato, who is President and Executive Director of the Coalition of Wisconsin Aging Groups, CWAG. This segment of our program is brought to you by Home Health United. You got a friend right here. Online at homehealthunited.org, and the medicine shop Monona, caring beyond prescriptions. We're talking about Medicare, and we're talking about fact and fiction, what is, what isn't, after the campaign rhetoric, where there was so much misinformation and really scaremongering tactics used. We'd like to bring it back to reality and really understand clearly and logically what it is and what it isn't. Nino, in the first segment, you were explaining about the misinformation and used some of the examples, the drug benefit and how other countries, the drugs are less expensive than they are here because they negotiate with the drug companies and as a result have lower price medications. Because of our lobbying efforts here, we do not negotiate drug prices with the pharmaceutical companies, and they are allowed more freewheeling in what they can charge for the drugs. Not that we don't need the pharmaceutical companies.
No, we definitely do.
Or don't appreciate. So will this change now in the health under the health care reform, Medicare?
It'll change for two things. One, it was a real eye-opener for the federal government when they looked at the VA health system, Veterans Administration, and they actually allowed the VA to negotiate direct low-cost prices. And it was amazing what they were able to do for our veterans. So that now applies, too, that we can now negotiate the lowest bottom price. The other thing is, I wish the sound bites were there to explain all this, but they're not. And there's no silver bullets, but there's plenty of silver buckshot, as they would say. And so, you know, what this bill does is that if you look at where we are today with rising health care costs, and if people think health insurance is expensive here, it's almost double in other parts of the country. And when people say, well, you know, we have 30, 40 million people without health insurance, they do have health insurance. It's called the emergency room, one of the most expensive type of insurance. So the health care prevail basically puts everybody on an equal level playing field. So those 40 million people don't have to use the ER anymore unless it's an absolute emergency. The other thing is we have a great health care system in this country that takes care of us when we fall off the cliff. Well, that's very expensive. Why don't we put a fence on top of the cliff? And it's called prevention and wellness. And this health care bill now requires insurance company to put a greater emphasis on prevention and wellness so that people take care of themselves to address the what I call one of the biggest eating disorders in this country, which is obesity, and also those who are bulimic. And so prevention is really key to bring those costs down. But really fundamental is restructuring the way we pay healthcare providers. Right now, we pay it based on fee for service. So in other words, the more exams doctors can give, the more surgery they can advocate for, the more they get compensated. It shouldn't be that way. We should be looking at quality measures and quality outcomes. Let me give you, for instance, and I can speak for myself, both of being in healthcare as well as being a consumer of healthcare. Mm-hmm. I had a hairline fracture in my back from an old ski accident that I didn't know I had. And when I was moving, lifting furniture back and forth, helping out, it separated. And so the doctor said right away, oh, you got to do back surgery. I asked, how much is it going to cost? He said, well, your insurance company will cover it. Don't worry. I said, no, I'm a consumer. I want to know what this is going to cost. It was like $68,000. And I said, well, what's the recovery rate? Oh, it's only 50%. I said, well, what happens 10 years from now? Well, we may have to go back in and do more surgery. So I went for a second opinion because I didn't like what I heard. I went to a physical therapist, and for $400, I learned how to do stretching exercises. I have a $20 cushion in the back of my car or in my front seat of my car, and I sit right now, and I'm walking before I was limping. So there's a classic case. Was that surgeon incented to push surgery to bring more money for him into the hospital, or was it really prevention and wellness where a doctor should have triaged me through the system and say, look, let's see whether we can cure this first by physical therapy before we get an expensive health care. So we need to change the fee for service. And people on both sides of the debate in the healthcare industry are saying it's time to do that.
And to make these services that we receive effective.
Absolutely.
Not over-treatment, not under-treatment, but the appropriate treatment.
Right.
And evidence-based medicine.
Well, you also, yeah, and what we need to do really, it is an evidence-based medicine model combined with a quality assurance model from private industry. What made Chrysler so effective is when Iacocca went there, he ended up setting the standard for the automobile industry, which were almost Neanderthal, about quality and about long-term service, and he changed the world. We're talking about the same thing here. Quality outcomes. And what was really interesting, Dr. Don Berwick, who was just appointed as the chief administrator for the Center for Medicare and Medicaid, was the one who came out with the Institute of Medicine report in 1999 saying that we lose 150 to 300,000 people each year of preventable medical mistakes, and that costs us billions and billions of dollars. Well, he gets appointed to CMS, Center for Medicare and Medicaid, and the far right were saying he's a socialist. He's no socialist. He's very much of a free enterprise person. I actually call him the quality assurance person, like Lee Iacocca, of the entrepreneurial Medicare industry. He's going to make it cheaper and at the same time do outcome qualities. And again, why is there misinformation? Well, people want to protect the current system because they're making money off it. And there's another issue, too.
Well, change is always difficult.
Change is very difficult.
I have the habit of doing it this way.
But
and
prevention and wellness. People will be shocked to know that in this state, compared to other states mandate that every healthcare employee gets influenza shots because it's very dangerous for both young and old. And you lose people with death or serious injuries, which drive up healthcare costs. In this state, it's voluntary. And in some hospitals, they've reached an 80% vaccination rate. Others are as low as 25 to 30%. Why don't we require all of them to do vaccination? And at the same time, too, why should one hospital be charging only maybe $10,000 for an annual plasty, and another one will charge $28,000? Mm-hmm. So as consumers, shouldn't we know where's the best place to go and what has the best quality measures? So the current system is almost like a monopoly. When it's time to get your health insurance, you know, they do all this advertising, but you're really locked in. You know what the providers are. It's not like you have all these other choices. So the fee-for-service has to change. We have to do what's in the best interest of the patient, but based upon outcomes and an evidence-based model.
Let's talk about the cost a little bit. Just the other day, someone said to me, we're not going to be able to pay for it. How will we possibly pay for this healthcare program and particularly the Medicare costs? And from what I read, we're going to be cutting our Medicare costs, the cost of Medicare, by $500 million. Mm-hmm. And yet, according to the legislation, Medicare itself will be strengthened with new evidence-based medicine, better treatments, more focus on prevention. So let's talk about the specifics of how we're going to be able to provide better care and still save $500 million.
Well, let's put it in a broader perspective and come right down to your specific point. People say you can't be competitive if we do, you know, continue with Medicare in this country and healthcare reform. Well, why is every other industrialized nation like Japan, Germany? I mean, those are two countries that are industrial powerhouses. And you can look at Australia. You can look at some of the Middle East countries. The fact of the matter is all our competitors have a healthcare system, and their costs are lower than our cost. So why is that? Well, because they do a quality measure and it's not fee for service. The other thing is that if you do nothing, let's say this healthcare reform bill didn't pass, the current system is on a slow, actually it's on a fast collision course. It's not sustainable. Prices will go through the ceiling and employers won't be able to offer insurance. We won't be able to pay for insurance, and therefore it's a disaster waiting to happen. What this bill does is lays out a plan over 10 years that lower cost, increase quality outcomes, and addresses many of the inequities in the current system.
One of the things that Medicare is doing is really focusing strongly on the fraud and abuse. There was just a case, maybe a month ago that was reported, 5 states, a ring of Medicare abuse covering over $100 million of inaccurate, false billings to Medicare, that they now have caught those people and they've saved Medicare $100 million right there.
Right there.
There's $100 million in one sweep. They're looking at another one in New York. This has been a joint and a new effort by the Department of Health and Human Services and the Department of Justice to really more actively go after Medicare fraud and abuse.
Sure. One of the services we do, we investigate Medicare fraud. We also train volunteers to look for Medicare and Medicaid fraud. And we just was awarded a big grant to continue our efforts because of our success. We found one organization, I'm not going to name names here, but it was a dentist who in fact was billing government for silver fillings when they were using melted paper clips. Mm. I wonder why the person never thought they were going to get caught, but those are the type of things that go on. And that ring that they found in that 4 or 5 state area, they have been operating for quite some time, so no one knows what the true cost is. And again, prior to this administration, the former administration wouldn't put more money into investigators. Well, if you want to lower costs by 10-15%, then guess what? There's a way to do it. And that is to really have an aggressive campaign of Medicare and Medicaid fraud that will lower costs. And in the health care reform bill, that's exactly what's going on. The other thing that is going on relative to lower cost is the importance of standardizing medical billing for insurance companies. Cleveland Clinic, Mayo Clinic, who have top quality in Mayo, their doctors are on salary, so it's not fee for service. It's amazing they're doing an excellent job and generating surpluses. But in Cleveland Clinic, they have 2,200 doctors, 1,500 clerks to just do the billing. The cost for Medicare under the billing process is standardized. It's about 3% of the administrative costs. At Cleveland Clinic, it's double digit. And you ever get an insurance bill? I can't read it.
Right.
And so one of the things it basically requires now is to standardize our billing across the country so, one, we can all as consumers understand it, and two, to eliminate the administrative cost with having, you know, 60, 70 different providers for a hospital. So, again, does the providers want that to happen? No, because all of a sudden the transparency is there. And so these are complicated issues, but there's clear indicators of how you can lower costs, and this healthcare reform does that.
One of the other things in line with what you were just saying that they're looking at, and they're looking at different things, and some may work and some may not work, and that's true with anything in life.
Sure.
You know, you have to kind of try it out.
Well, it's true in the free marketplace.
Yeah.
You know, you have successes with products and you have failures in products. No one hits a home run the first time around and continues to hit home runs.
Or doctors change treatment because new information came forward.
Absolutely.
But one thing they're looking at is grouping treatments under one particular condition. So if you have a condition that you're going to be treated for and it takes many treatments and perhaps a few people coming from different disciplines, they're looking at a package price for that so you know what it's going to cost. Mm-hmm. And here it eliminates all these individual bills that continuously add up.
And those are administrative costs, which we're paying for. And, you know, the same thing, too, if people don't want to sustain the current health care reform, you'll end up having more people losing their insurance because they can't afford it. There'll be more people who will be denied insurance because of pre-existing conditions. And guess where they're going to go to get health care? The emergency room. And guess who pays for that? Us.
Yes.
So one way or the other, we're going to pay, and it's going to be a lot more.
Yeah. And that's just a heroic moment of care versus the kind of continuum of care that really will provide better health.
Yeah, it gets back to one of the initiatives that we'll be launching next month called the Campaign for Better Care. And it's all focused on patient-centered care, changing the fee for service, looking at quality measures, outcomes, prevention, and wellness. And this is, you know, there's no politics in this. It's not right versus left, Republican versus Democrat. This will help fix the system in Wisconsin alone.
Well, it's so common sense. We're going to stop for a break. When we come back, a couple more things on this area of prevention. And we're talking with Nino Amato today. He's the executive director of the Coalition of Wisconsin Aging Groups. We're talking about Medicare and health care, how we're going to pay for it, and what the future of health care is going to look like. I'm Carol Kobe. This is All About Living here on Madison 1670 WTDY. Stay tuned.
This is All About Living with Carol Kolbe, Madison 1670 WTDY.
We're back with our program. Nino Amato is our guest, Executive Director of the Coalition of Wisconsin Aging Groups. And this segment is brought to you by Independent Living, your connection to an independent life. Let me just read you a couple of facts here. Benefits for seniors of the new Affordable Care Act rules on expanding prevention coverage. We're talking about the health care reform and how it's going to affect all of us in health care, the costs and the effectiveness of treatment, but particularly in the area of Medicare. Today, chronic diseases such as heart disease, cancer, and diabetes are responsible for 7 of 10 deaths among Americans each year and account for 75% of the nation's health spending. These conditions are often preventable or certainly can be delayed or managed if there's some personal responsibility that we take better care of ourselves, that the healthcare system kind of front ends our care more strongly and effectively by looking at prevention and wellness. And we, getting patient-centered care, should be at the center of it and realize that we've got to step forward and we have a role in that. Obesity is one of the biggest health issues and health risks that we have today. And that has a lot to do with pushing ourselves away from the table and selecting the correct foods and the colorful array of fruits and vegetables and learning to love them and putting them as a regular part of our life and our diet. So it seems to me that we, along with the healthcare system, are in this partnership together.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, during this whole healthcare debate, if there was anything that was missing, the consumer really was not at the table. Now, one of our initiatives with the Blue Ribbon Task Force, the Campaign for Better Care, is healthcare literacy and public education, because it's really going to be the consumers that are going to drive this if they get engaged. And it's critical. On the obesity issue, it's a lot more complex than people will phrase personal responsibility. We do have all personal responsibilities. But we have to look at the root of the problem. Well, part of the root of the problem are all the fatty pre-cooked foods, the promotion of food every time you turn on TV, so on and so forth. Why should we be having high-calorie sugar sodas in our schools? Now, they'll say, oh, we get revenue off it. Well, there are entrepreneurs out there that'll say, we'll put juices in there, we'll put the right drinks in there so it's healthy. In senior centers and retirement homes, they don't have soda in the machines. I mean, there are things we can do. We need to educate people, starting in the early grade levels, about nutrition. We need to do it about, I mean, there was a survey that was done in some of the highest educated schools with great scores, and people couldn't tell the difference between an eggplant and a zucchini or a tomato, and some got apples right and bananas right, but most of them didn't even know their vegetable food groups. So we need a lot of education, and a deal with obesity, if we don't, that leads to diabetes, as we know, it leads to more heart issues, and as you said earlier, Carol, that's 75% of our healthcare cost. It is a tsunami coming if we don't focus on prevention and wellness, and that's what this healthcare bill does, which now requires insurance companies to look at that up front.
Prevention and wellness not only will save money, but it just gives a better quality of life.
Sure it is. It's going to
prolong. And if we're looking at economic issues, isn't a healthy workforce a better feature or a better tool for industry and business than
Absolutely.
Somebody who isn't well?
And let me to take that to its core. Absolutely. Quad Graphics, along with SC Johnson, along with Serigraph. They were frustrated at the healthcare cost and not putting enough emphasis on prevention and wellness. Yet Serigraph, which is headed up by John Torinas, who was former business editor of Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, they have an on-site primary care doc. They have physician assistants on-site. They have wellness prevention programs. They've seen productivity go up, mm-hmm. sick rates go down. They're seeing their healthcare costs on average going down by 25 to 30%. So here you have business people taking the initiative, doing what's in the best interest. If they can do it that way, why can't the rest of us do it that way?
Well, here's another startling statistic. Research indicates that if current obesity in seniors, this is in seniors, was reduced to 1980s levels when we were less heavy, Medicare could save an estimated $1 trillion over the next 25 years. And this is grounded research. This isn't somebody, you know, Uncle Henry telling somebody at 3 in the morning or whatever. So it pays. Prevention pays not only in bringing down healthcare costs, but in making people healthier, happier, and well.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And we all want to live to see our grandchildren. And some have been lucky to be great-grandparents, and I can't even imagine after just becoming a grandparent. But yeah, it is about our life expectancy. And if you go back to 1935, life expectancy was 50, 65 years old. Today, if you live to be 65, you have over a 75% chance you're going to live through most of your 80s.
And in the next 20 years, the number of people 100 and over are going to grow by 400%.
Sure.
That's a new statistic
and
I just discovered.
And if we don't address obesity, however, that will begin to go in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Because that is going to be, it's an end-of-life decision, and I don't think people realize how serious it really is.
Well, getting our healthcare providers tuned in to helping us help ourselves is a major component, and Medicare, starting in January of 2011, is going to include preventive screenings mm-hmm. and a wellness exam every year. They've never done that. Medicare has been here since the Lyndon Johnson administration, sure. and we've never had prevention and wellness as part of it. Starting in January 1st, 2011, you can get screenings, and they have recommendations on what you need to be healthy and to be screened for good health. And breast cancer, cervical cancer, colorectal cancer screenings, diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and the HDL and the LDL, HIV infection, that sexually transmitted diseases mm-hmm. are growing rapidly sure. among the senior population. Yep. Obesity, osteoporosis, these are all things that with your physician, you're going to look at and see what kinds of screenings you need, and they will include that. And this is now sure. going to be part of medicine and Medicare. And then the men have a checklist, too, which includes the prostate cancer issues and abdominal aortic aneurysms. That's a big issue, particularly with men. They're going to be screening for mm-hmm. these now.
Sure. And that's going to save money in the long run. It's going to save lives.
Right.
And right now, if that health care bill goes away and there's an effort in Congress to repeal it, these preventive measures are going to go away, which means it's going to drive cost up. We're not going to save.
Well, Ron Johnson said that was one of the first things he was going to do when he got to the Senate was repeal health care. And if that happens, then I think it should happen on the basis of people being informed about what it is, really knowing what it is, and specifically what it will or won't do for them, and then they can tell their Congress people what they think about it, and then they should vote the will of the people. And if
sure.
the will of the people,
absolutely.
After having the facts, determines that it should be repealed, then, you know, sure. then we go forward and we figure out what else to do. But what currently exists is not sustainable.
No, it's not. And most people agree. Now, obviously, we have our different ideas of how to get there. But the best way to get there is to be talking the real facts and not using fear tactics. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the electorate this time, our citizens, were so confused. They didn't know which way to go. And obviously, they went in a direction that they felt was in the best interest. We'll see what happens now.
Well, it was peer pressure. Somebody else down the road is against the health care reform, mm-hmm. and they think they're supposed to be, too. And I think people just got on the bandwagon.
Sure.
Go to healthcare.gov. It's a wonderful site, and it explains the health care reform legislation, and you just click on which area of that you're interested in knowing more about. What about the end-of-life issues, the death panel, so to speak? And
they refer to that
in many, many articles.
That was the very first thing that came out as being false. I mean, there's clearly false evidence.
But one-third of the people still think it's in there.
Yeah, and it's not. It has nothing to do with death panels. In fact, even the whole issue of rationing care. Well, look, I sat as an advisor to a health care insurance company, and every day they ration care. And when people also using tactics, oh, you'll wait in line forever, well, call one of our hospitals, see how long it takes to get a specialist, see how long it takes to get a primary or family care doc. You're waiting. And the current system is on overload. And so this whole thing about year-end or death panels is just bogus, absolutely bogus. Now, there's other things important about year-end life decisions. Instead of waiting until the crisis happens mm-hmm. with your parent or yourself, I mean, no one knows what tomorrow brings. You really need to get and we provide this free guardianship services so that you can make decisions now so that if you decide that you don't want to be kept on feeding tubes or don't want to be kept on life supports, that you can make those decisions so you can control your own future. And if you feel you want everything possible, then you have the right to do that.
Well, this only underscores the importance of advanced directors. If you
want
to be in control of your own health care, then stop now and make sure that you have all your papers in order and that you've had the discussions with your families and you determine the kind of care that you want to get in certain circumstances so other people aren't making the decisions for you, other family members, other medical people, because nobody knows what you want.
Sure.
You have only yourself to blame if you haven't told people.
Yeah. And let me put a positive perspective on this whole discussion. We're very fortunate in Wisconsin. We have some very progressive CEOs who head up hospital systems and insurance companies, and they are working together. There was an initiative that we started back after the Institute of Medicine report when I was at Meritor to bring in the three hospitals. It was St. Mary's, it was UW, and it was Meritor to talk about the need to start a collaborative on quality measures, quality outcomes, mm-hmm. all the things we were talking about earlier. Today, there is a state organization called the Wisconsin Collaborative on Quality Healthcare. It's run by Chris Quorum, very effective person. We work together in the healthcare at different positions, and they're looking at these issues. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at some of the great hospitals in the state, when you look at Mayo Clinic, Cleveland Clinic, there's models for us to follow. So one of the things we're doing is focusing on Wisconsin. And Wisconsin has always been kind of a leader, a flagship. And we think that through this campaign for better care, looking at patient-centered care, that we can leap ahead of the federal government and show how it can work and how you can save money and get better outcomes.
We're going to stop for a break, and when we come back, I want to hear more about this, how Wisconsin is a role model and a flagship for the rest of the country and what your specific plans are. Our guest today is Nino Amato. He is Executive Director of CWAG, Coalition of Wisconsin Aging Groups. We'll be right back with more of All About Living here on Madison 1670 WTDY after these messages.
This is All About Living with Carol Colby, Madison 1670 WTDY.
Welcome back to our program. Before we continue our conversation with Nino Amato, Executive Director of Coalition Wisconsin Aging Groups, I want to once again thank my sponsors, Gunderson Funeral and Cremation Care, Turville Bay MRI and Radiation Oncology Center in Madison, Home Health United, The Medicine Shop Monona, and Independent Living. Thanks to them, this program is able to be brought to you every week here on Madison 1670 WTDY, All About Living at noon, noon on Saturdays, and also on carolcobyradio.com, carolcobey, K-O-B-Y, radio.com. We're talking about healthcare reform, Medicare, and Coalition of Wisconsin Aging Groups is working here in Wisconsin to continue to have Wisconsin be a leader in healthcare. And Nino, you just mentioned that Wisconsin is a flagship state for the nation. We're being looked at for the kind of quality of care that we provide our citizens. And you have an initiative called Campaign for Better Care. And can you tell me about it and what's going to be happening
sure.
in Wisconsin?
Wisconsin is one of six states that are being run as a pilot to look at ways to improve the healthcare system, to have a better delivery service through patient-centered care, and to manage cost, and to either lower them or at least level them off. And so what makes Wisconsin unique compared to the other five states is that the vehicle for our initiative is through the Blue Ribbon Citizen Task Force on Patient-Centered Care, pretty much modeled after the Blue Ribbon Citizen Task Force that President Teddy Roosevelt did over 100 years ago on the state of healthcare. And lo and behold, they found the same thing, cost, access, and medical safety. And so that really set the healthcare debate. This whole initiative is being sponsored by 79 national organizations, from American Heart to National Alzheimer's, AARP, a lot of healthcare and consumer providers. And in the state, we have the Wisconsin Nurses Association playing a very key role. We haven't gotten endorsements from some of the medical associations, but they will help us from the education standpoint. And the whole idea is between December and probably late March, early April, we'll be coming up with a blueprint plan that will in fact advance reform here in the state that has been proven in other healthcare systems and other states around the country, so we don't have to reinvent the wheel, and show how we can improve healthcare outcomes and manage and lower cost. And this is a citizens group. It is not elected officials. It's not politicians. It's healthcare experts. It is consumers at the table, and all of us are consumers at one mm-hmm. time or another. And that'll be moving along, and we're getting people involved. It's going to be a statewide initiative, so we'll be all over the state. These meetings will be transparent. The public will be invited. And then a number of recommendations will come in, and we'll spend a great deal of time discussing, debating those recommendations and timetable. And what we hope to do is, instead of doing this in kind of a piecemeal basis, is that we package it in such a way that each one complements the other. And we have a number of major healthcare providers that are already moving in this direction, and they see this basically as a catalyst to move things even further and faster. And Wisconsin has always had a long history of being out in front of national reform.
Now, each state has its own insurance commissioner, and
yes.
insurance is sold based on the guidelines, mm-hmm. the rules and regulations of a particular state. Much has been said about insurance should be sold across state lines. Is this something that would be an outcome from this, and would this be a good thing to happen? What is the issue regarding the state lines, and why are some people for it and some people against it?
Well, in some cases, like some of the bigger healthcare systems like Humana, Kaiser, Prominente and others, they have crossed state lines. They basically have set up an organization within those states. The real issue that it boils down to is, what kind of health care systems can we provide? What kind of supplement health care systems we can implement as well? And let me just get back to that health care reform bill. Mm-hmm. Those who basically have supplemental income or insurance for hospital stays, which a lot of people buy, they had a lot of misinformation and insurance premiums that people were paying. I'll give you, for instance, under Medicare, if you make a one-night hospital visit or a 30-night hospital visit, you have a deductible of $1,060, okay? And if you should come back again, it's, again, another deductible. A lot of insurance companies were selling this as only a $250 deductible. But when you read the fine print, it was $250 per day, which is really misleading. Under this health care reform bill, they cleaned up that system. Okay. So what was like 50-some options are now down to 31 options. So they've gone through to get rid of the, what I call, very unethical practices. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was illegal, you bet. So, I think what you need is in a healthcare overall is you want the private sector to drive healthcare insurance, but there should be standardization of billing. They should be focusing on a fee for service. They should be looking at, and a lot of the lower costs are coming from nonprofit healthcare providers. Those who are on the profit side, some are doing what is in the best interest, and some are milking the system. And so we really need to look at health insurance reform as well.
And so it's not totally impossible that companies would be selling supposedly across state lines, but they have to set up according to each
Correct.
State's guidelines
Right.
in every state.
Sure.
And according to the rules and regulations of that state.
Sure.
What about the medical malpractice? Some people say that has been such a big issue, and that's what's driving up our health care costs.
Here's another, again, false evidence appearing real. The real issue here are medical mistakes. And as Dr. Don Berwick will tell you, and most of the people in our hospital system will provide, those can be cleaned up. That would save billions and billions of dollars. If you put a medical malpractice cap on, you're going to see medical errors go up because now it's a cost of doing business. Let's first get down the medical mistakes and save billions and billions of dollars, and then let's see what kind of lawsuits we have. But to put that first is basically feeding the monster, and it's going to drive up cost.
So it's not that people aren't considering talking about it, but let's do first things first.
Absolutely. Let's eliminate medical errors.
And my common sense approach is if you have put your advance directives together and your wishes for how you want to be treated,
sure.
and you've already stated that up front, that also helps a whole lot because if you've had the conversations, then everybody is on the same page. I like your Teddy Roosevelt concept, cost, access, medical safety.
Yep.
Thank you so much, Nino Amato. It's always a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you very much. We'll invite you back to
Great. Continue the conversation. Thank you for listening to All About Living here on Madison 1670 WTDY. It's also available on carolcobyradio.com, Carol Coby, K-O-B-Y, radio.com. Now go out and have a great rest of the weekend.